It is a pleasure to welcome you to the show at 6 o'clock on BBS Radio. Wynn is out and about, and he is bringing in the conference line. So as soon as he gets all the people together, he's going to be calling in. Today is the 12th of March, 2012, and we're on at 6 o'clock. That would be Pacific Daylight Time. We're broadcasting today out of Sedona, and Sedona does not have a time change. So the time changed in California and across the United States, except for, I think, two states. Wynn chooses a topic for the show, and I don't have the topic beforehand. So I never know what the topic's going to be, so it's always a surprise for me. And I want it that way because very often I do channelings, and when I don't know what it's going to be beforehand, then I won't be thinking about it. What I do on the show is often I channel a source that calls himself the Elohim.
Would you please
announce yourself? I think I may hear Wynn in the background. Wynn, are you there?
Can you hear me? I can hear you. Okay, I can hear you. We can hear you. I was having trouble with our conference line, with my phone, connecting the two today. So we're on the air. Hey, everybody. Oh, now, Steve, if you were high...
Can you hear me? Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me? I can hear you, Wynn.
Unmuted.
Jerry?
Yes.
Now, when I muted everybody, I think I muted you, okay? So, hang on. Let me start the recording.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Wynn is starting the recording. He records it, and also BBS Radio records it. And if one they can and checks in, signs in, and subscribes, they can get all of the recordings of all of our shows from the beginning. We've been doing shows with BBS Radio since about 2007. Wow, that seems like quite a long time now.
That's Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Okay. I can see. Today's going to be a challenge because I can't mute everybody without muting you because I'm not conferenced into the call. I don't think so. Anyway, can you guys all hear me now on the call, on the conference line?
I can hear you.
On the conference line, yes.
Yeah. So, okay, there's not a lot of background noise, but it's really important. Maybe what should happen is all of you should do star six and mute yourself because there's a different procedure tonight because my phone was not working during the conference. So thank you. Do star six so that we can keep any background noise out. If I mute everybody, I will mute Terry as well, and we won't be able to hear her. So it has to be independently muted. Terry, are you there?
Uh-huh.
Good, I still hear you. Good. All right. Well, this is Wynn Free and Terry Brown, and as you know, those of you that have been listening, and that we do... somebody's not muted. You're going to have to mute. Star 6. If you're on the conference line, star 6. Okay? Because if there's background noise, it can upset the whole call. All right? And this is tonight, there's a problem. So we've had to do it this way. So thank you for cooperating. And star 6. Let me see if I hear you. You should all be star 6. So I'm going to ask the people on the conference line to say, hello. Good, I don't hear any of you. Thank you. All right. So we've been having conversations with a intelligence that says they were here before there was a physical universe, that they were spirit forms, and that they were part of the creation of the physical universe. And I always tell people, don't believe that because I say it or they say it. It's something you have to listen to our calls and get the resonance of to see if it holds together. Because if you kind of elevate something because someone else says it's true, it's not a great thing to do. Because then it just creates a belief pattern, a doctrine. It creates a hierarchy. And as I've come to understand, the goal of the highest of high sources in the universe does not mean to create a hierarchy. Although in past epochs of time, it looked that way. Because in the course of all our calls, they've explained how the universe got screwed up, how beings in this realm, in the quest for power and money, separated themselves from each other. Whereas, in fact, you know, if you're following the spiritual path, you would know that, if you take Jesus, for example, the biggest quality that Jesus talked about was compassion. Love your neighbor as yourself. And yet, that's a pretty rare quality in this realm. So, the knowledge of how this all works maybe gives us tools to learn how to fix ourselves and fix, to some degree, our little portion of the universe. And those of you that have been on these calls regularly know that we've had a very consistent point of view. We've been able, many of you, feel energy on these calls, which they say they can project into this realm, and that when they project from their level into this level energy, some of the ways they describe it is like spraying WD-40 on all the matrices, so that when we start tuning into that energy, we start opening up to higher levels of synchronicities, healings, healing of relationships. Sometimes big obstacles we get emails from people that they put something into the light and a relationship shifted. Now, you can see, because this source honors free will, and they have the stipulation that people have to ask to get their assistance, one can see how easily that could turn into the concept of God. And if you use God, the word God, and think of the Supreme Being, whatever, and you use that with the right intention, it works. It's like it doesn't matter if you have the name correct. It doesn't even matter if what we're saying is the right how would I say it, the right description of how it works, but yet, in many ways, it makes sense, if that's the way to say it. It makes sense. It's comprehensive, and it makes sense. And we do these conversations live right on these calls, and let me mute all that.
Sorry for being late, Vin.
Oh, okay. Hi. Would you mute yourself? Because I'm having a problem. And I can't mute everybody. I'll mute Terry. So, but good to have you. And Steve did a really good job doing your job. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
I can hear you. So we're just talking about, you know, if we're talking to a source that created the physical universe, this is a chance to get understandings that perhaps have never been inserted into this realm. And of course, Terry is our intermediary here. And she's on the line, and we're doing this live on BBS Radio. So the reason we can do this is because you guys are holding the space, the energy, the safety for doing it. And even saying that, I'll say that in terms of channeled information, always don't take any of this blindly. Let it go into your intuitions. Feel the energy, and consider it. And whatever applies that helps expand you, evolve you, then that stands on its own. And whatever doesn't, keep it in a stipulation, because, not a stipulation, in a holding pattern, and evaluate it over time, evaluate all our calls over time. Because one of the things that's happening on our calls is, now, this is my take on this, my look. Because we're working with an energy outside of time, and the time is a construct of the universe, when you're on these calls, a certain part of you starts to move outside of time to match the energy of the call. And as you do that, and you get used to it, you start shifting your own experience in the physical realm. The way I describe it is operating at a higher level of matrix. And since you're moving outside of time, and all of your distortions, all of your karma is contained within time, and this is my theory, that as you move outside of time on these calls and you get used to that frequency, you start having a healing process on your own matrix, or potential healing process. And so you're participating in it. It's not done to you. It's not some outside source that corrects things. It's your own ability to move above the timelines that your karmic patterns are contained within, and then there's something that shifts. Now, perhaps that quality of moving above the timelines and something shifting is similar to the Christian concept of grace, perhaps. That's just my theory. But you can draw your own conclusions, but we have a very interesting conversation scheduled tonight, and I'm going to just shut up and bring in our protective energies. And Terry, you're on the line still, right?
Uh-huh. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Now, Terry never knows what we're going to talk about. Usually she doesn't know. She does. I don't believe she knows tonight. So she'll find
no,
out.
No, I don't.
It's all done, impromptu. And I'll announce the topic after we bring in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through the top of our heads, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we await our sources to identify themselves.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 12th of March, 2012, and we are on planet Earth. And we are on the BBS radio telephone lines and on the conference line. And we experience, as we are on that, a certain inanimate connection, and we are multi, we would call it, we are multifaceted, so we also connect directly with each and every one of you. Some people, when they try to connect, they look to the source of where the information is coming from, where the projection is being made of the sound, where the projection of Terry's voice is coming. And we are not there. We are of a much higher vibration. So if you're looking to sense where we are and to connect with us, we are available. We are in your space, wherever you are. And it is a very light, high frequency availability of connection for you. Do you have questions tonight, Wynn?
Yes. Let me just bring everyone up to date. We've had a series of calls over a number of months where we occasionally bring this up, and it's always, always a fascinating topic. And sometimes we don't understand it, but sometimes we get it after a while, of the idea that the Elohim existed before there was a physical universe, and they were pure energies, the same energies that we're talking to right now, I believe, and that they learned to focus their energies, the way it was described, was creating spinningness, frequencies, it was a little complicated, cross frequencies, as a team to cause persistence. And persistence was the beginning of the physical universe, and they spun out galaxies, and they spun out different things, and then we talked about the first life form being the amoeba, and how the amoeba was the first biological entity that transferred energy from one to the other in the beginnings of energy transference, which ended up in sex, and how Elohim entities would come into this realm, and originally they could go back and forth. Maybe they're coming in just like they're coming in with Terry. They could come in through beings and feel how it felt to be a being and then go back to the realm. And eventually, by some reason, they couldn't go back. They got stuck in this realm. I don't know if I asked this question. Some people think it was because of sex that tied their energy into this realm, and that some of them lost their knowledge that they were, in fact, Elohim. They just knew they were powerful beings in this realm. Some of them became negative and used their exalted powers to try to manipulate the realm. And then there are certain beings that I'm not sure where they came from. Sometimes people call them the reptilians. I've never asked the question where they came from. I might ask that tonight. Some people said one book that I read said they came from another universe. So I want to try to pick up tonight on some of the questions that we still haven't asked about this evolution of the universe and how we got to where we are. Because all of us on this call are part of that, even though we don't remember. And so the idea of doing this is learning our own track, because we've been here for eons, for millenniums, most of us. That doesn't mean all of us. There could be such a thing as a new soul, and which I don't understand completely, but could be. Nonetheless, another thing we've learned is when a being is created in this realm, wherever they come from, however they're created, whether they're created by beings in this realm, by genetic manipulation or genetic science, that the DNA attracts the energy, pulls in the energy from the field to create the individuation of that soul, which then is now on a track in this realm of its own evolution, growing from lifetime to lifetime. And when the being dies, the energy continues, and the DNA track continues, the idea being for that individual to become, if I use the word God-realized, may not be the right word, but expanded into the hologram of the awareness of the, maybe the highest expansion might be the total realization, internalization, comprehension of the law of one. So that's kind of where we've gone up till now. And I'll let our sources comment on what I said, just in case I've said anything wrong and they want to correct it.
Thank you. The individual bodies and manifestation phenomena of the individuals involved. And we look non-linearly at each one that are listening or will listen or will read a transcript. And our affinity goes out to Connie for transcribing these sessions. And we see the condensation of the essence of the life force being manifested through the particular motions involved in the projection of one's own body. If one looks at what the body is consisting of, one sees that there are spinning energies, there are the chakras, which are ideally spinning in a clockwise direction. However, at certain times, they may spin in a counterclockwise direction when one is reforming energies involved in the manifestation of a particular section of the body manifestation. We look at the individual cells and we see spinningnesses, and we looked at the atoms and we see spinningnesses, and the resultant spinningnesses in their intersection results in the manifestation of light and of the light body and of the physical body and of the mental body. Although that's not usually considered, it is a body, and of the astral body, where the information is stored for the DNA, and the DNA is also a result of spinningnesses. Are you with us so far?
I'm with you. Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Do you have further questions?
Well, picking up where I think we left off, what was the first planet in the universe have animal and then some form of bipodal, two-legged humanoid life? And was that original humanoid life created totally kind of a laboratory way? Or were the Elohim already coming into this realm and working on that development?
We were already coming into the realm and working on that development, and at the beginning, things were projections without grounding. And gradually, through the spinningnesses of the galaxies, energy became grounded in planets, in stars, and first of all, stars began to coalesce in particular energy vortexes as they were created by the spinningness of the entire housing that was spun off of a galaxy. And the resultant energies created coalescing of materials, which then had great heat. And then as the friction between the spinningness housings and energy vortexes within the galaxy began to coalesce, then life forms, which are everywhere, found themselves in a more condensed state, and their awareness began to become more localized. And as they localized their perceptions, they then inhabited other means of manifestation, or molecular structures, or wider structures, such as the galaxy itself began to exhibit a consciousness, a rudimentary consciousness based upon the condensing of matter as a result of the spinning housing of the galaxy. This consciousness then had eddies and vortexes within it, which then had localized consciousness that then became aware of its surroundings and more shut off from all that is. As everything is a manifestation of life, and so appeared in the unitized form, localized form, eventually developing rudimentary senses that could perceive other energy manifestations and began to feel the companionship of other rudimentary consciousnesses. Then,
on the physical,
go ahead.
On the physical level, these rudimentary consciousnesses, were they existing on multiple locations, multiple planets, one galaxy starting it? Where was it focalized in the beginning?
It was focalized in any area where there were eddies and currents in condensation, a coagulation of energy forces based and brought together by the spinning motions that they have been affected by.
So in other words, it was happening in multiple locations simultaneously.
That's correct.
And were these first forms, well, we know there were rudimentary life forms like amoebas, and at what point did those rudimentary life forms evolve into humanoid life forms?
There are more rudimentary and larger forms than amoeba. There are rudimentary consciousnesses which are formed whenever you have a spinning housing. There begins to be a sense of relationship between the spinningness occupied by intelligence, as intelligence is everywhere, and began to be perception of other housings that were in the vicinity. There, and at this time, we are not thinking of the very localized housing such as amoeba. We are thinking in the larger sphere, such as the logos, the intelligence behind the star, the intelligence behind the galaxy, that then began to have some say and coexistence with other intelligences that he had then subsequently formed within the eddies and currents within the main logos. This then, much as you would have a, we look at, say, a pot of fudge on the stove being stirred, and as the fudge cools, the fudge begins to set up and have a structure. It is to the point where structures began that you have things emerge, such as the amoeba.
So the first consciousnesses were, in fact, what Carla Ruckert calls the logos and the sublogos, meaning the galaxies,
yes,
the stars, the planets, the suns, each having an awareness of their existence. And everything tied together in the field at that point. The awarenesses,
yes,
were aware of the other awarenesses, just as the Elohim in their realm are all aware of each other as part of the one infinite creator, so did the awarenesses of the galaxies, the stars, and the planets have that awareness as they were in this evolutionary phase. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes.
Now, and then there became life forms, of course, developing, and did the awareness of sublogos, the stars, the planets, etc., did they participate in the creation of life forms in their particular domain?
Yes. In that one logos would have the consciousness of all that had been manifested within his sphere. And some logoses were manifested within his sphere, and he would have the simultaneous knowledge of these sub-logoses.
Thank you. Somebody on the line is making noise, and you have to mute yourself manually. So, thank you. So, when the sub-logos were making decisions about the creation of the sub-sub-logos, logi, so to speak, were the celestial Elohim involved in participating, or were they operating fairly independently?
This is a very funny concept to us. He is making decisions contains a time delay, and there was no time delay. It was what was happening that then subsequently created time. So it is a funny concept to have a delay within creation, because it is all created in the now.
Let's see if I can reword the question. If we use the word co-creation, was the whole universe co-creating as a whole within all the Sub Lodi.
Thank you for your question. Everything is in the now and is created in the now and contains within it the bringing forward, you might call, of the creation in the now, so that it is constantly being created in the now.
And we, who are all listening on this call, are not just listeners, we are part of the creation. Yes?
Yes. You are active participants in the creation. It is when one has the creation, when one is part of the creation and then attempts to rely upon the creation, and then it begins to break down as they are no longer actively participating, but we look at the vision of holding on to the tail of a comet, trying to keep it there.
So, getting back to the humanoid form, the form that we live in, that houses our spirits, the form with two legs, a mouth, a nose, and eyes, and physical senses, how did that form evolve, and did it evolve simultaneously in that form on many locations? Universe.
Thank you for your question. Give us a moment. It evolved since everything is created in the now. It is all created. However, it was created step by step. And when an area of a galaxy would create a solid, what appeared to be a solid dense structure, then it began to have life forms that in the existing within that more solid, so to speak, structure, the housings began to congeal, and then other life forms began to coexist with them and to act in synchronicity with them, and you began to have a more complex unit that began to act within the more solid housing by its own prana, its own life force, and began to learn to utilize other life forces to come together to create a self-perpetuating unit. Then this developed in different parts, different logoses, individually and synchronicity, and the biped structure was a structure that was conducive to life in the more solid sphere, then as one also developed other structures, the biped structure became one that was uniquely suited to survive in the life field of a planet. Animals became suited toward this. Then it gradually developed that life forms could then cultivate other life forms and begin to work genetically with them. Then there began travel from planet to galaxy, to other galaxy. And then there began to be subunits of intermixing, wherein one life form would cultivate other life forms and would begin to genetically experiment with life forms to make different life forms, or there were attempts to modify the biped structure.
Thank you. Now, this is all going on in this universe field of multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, all, as I understand it, all nesting within each other. In other words,
yes,
one dimension,
nesting,
one timeline is nested within another timeline, which is nested within another timeline, and all the timelines together are working holographically as part of this condensed creation, which we call the physical universe. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
There's something called sacred geometry that people talk about, which I assume is the interface of timelines. Do timelines change, how do I describe this? Do they change at a discrete point, or is the whole thing a graduated shift?
It is much as if you would have a glass of water and you entered a chemical into it, and the chemical had its own not completely solid boundary between the water and the liquid that had been poured into the water. It would be, as we look at different realms, they are accessed through tunnels, through spinning vortexes that an individual can learn to travel through from realm to realm. Although it is not homogeneous, there are different connectors, realms within the realms, the parallel realms, the parallel timelines.
So it's not a graduated shift. There are discrete points where you go from one to another.
That is correct.
And are these points, I don't know how much longer we have on this. I was going to go into the sacred geometry, what's called sacred geometry, but maybe I better, let's see, 657, 658, if they have another show, it's coming on at 7. This is really great explanation for things, and we could talk for 20 hours on this, and we'll look forward to our next call where we continue our understanding of how the universe and how life forms got created. And thank you so much for coming forth tonight and bringing this great look at the universe we live in.
We appreciate the opportunity to connect with you. It is our profound gratitude for this connection. Adonai.